Good morning. It's the 19th of October. Our New Testament reading today is John 12. I'm going to read to you from Brother Melva Purkis, who comments upon the Lord's anointing. I read, "There are many acts of homage that seem to have little practical value, yet they are fragrant, and Jesus understands the loving devotion from which they spring. Sometimes they are criticised because they are intangible. Occasionally, less worthy motives lie behind the depreciation. No one but Jesus had any right to assess the value of Mary's action. Judas, entering into this sacred intimacy, was guilty of gross sacrilege. It is a scene which can be reenacted and contains a lesson that we all must learn. It is fatally easy to pass harsh judgments upon tender expressions of love which we fail to understand. When Mary and Judas are together in the presence of Jesus, how great is the contrast? The one consumed with love, the other filled with hate. The one conscious of none but her Lord, the other of none but himself. Yet Jesus did not destroy the loveliness of the scene by exposing the hate and the selfishness he saw in the heart of Judas. It is not difficult to understand the feelings of Mary as she heard the harsh words of Iscariot and the murmurings of the disciples. It hurts deeply when our warmest impulses are subjected to cold scrutiny and judgment. She probably doubted now the wisdom of her action. Was Judas right? Should her love for her Lord have been expressed in ministry to the poor of the village? Looking at her troubled face, Jesus immediately justified her action. She had performed a noble and beautiful work, a work which revealed both her love and her faith. She had indeed ministered to the poor. It is one of the wonders of God's grace that though his son was rich, he became poor, that through his poverty men might attain eternal riches." With moving pathos, Jesus explained the difference. The poor will remain to receive the succour of the rich. But me ye have not always. Only a few days now remain to him. In that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Mark adds the commendation of Jesus in the memorable words, "She hath done what she could." Her Lord was going to his death. There was nothing she could or would do to prevent him from accomplishing his Father's will. All that she could do was to show him the greatness of her faith and the depth of her love. It is all that men can do when faced with the wonder of God's grace in Jesus. Yet how few have earned this glowing tribute. When much else has been forgotten, the fragrance of that room in Simon's house lingers with us still. Wherever the page of the gospel is turned with reverent fingers, as man contemplates the culminating sacrifice of the Saviour's dedicated life, Mary appears quietly on the scene, a picture of deep understanding and deeper love. At the very threshold of our Lord's suffering and death, as we are able to see the magnitude of his love and to realise what we owe to him, we are met by this woman who, by a tender act of loving devotion, did what she could. And meeting her here, we are confronted by the challenge, "What have I done? Have I done what I could?" Thank you for listening to me.